Thank you. John 1:16. Are we not on? No. Okay. John 1:16. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. On the eve of the Epiphany, January 5th, year 1980, the Right Reverend A. Donald Davies was celebrating a nuptial mass in the seminary chapel at the Episcopal Theological Seminary of the Southwest. In celebration of the union in holy matrimony of Miranda Ann Beyer and William Glenn McLaughlin. At that service, the Reverend Philip Williams Turner III, are you impressed yet? Read the gospel, which was from the prologue of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 16, leaving out the verses having to do with John the Baptist, because it didn't seem relevant to the occasion. And it ends with, from his fullness have we all received grace upon grace. And that verse was also printed in the bulletin, because that was just so important to Miranda and me at that time, because we had experienced already in our engagement and in the wedding ceremony itself, grace upon grace in so many ways. Just amazing. I mean, the fact that the bishop had allowed us to get married before either one of us had a job, we were both in school, neither of us had any money, you know, there was a lot of things that were coming against us. Said, this isn't wise, but we had earnestly sought the Lord, and we really felt very strongly that this was what God wanted us to do, and we believed with all of our hearts that God was going to pour out grace upon grace. And thanks be to God, it has happened. For 42 years, we've experienced grace upon grace. The fact that we're 42 years in grace. And it also speaks much to Miranda's patience. But, you know, anyway, I had to throw that in there. All right. But seriously, we really believe that receiving grace upon grace in our wedding, in our marriage, and we seek the Lord together in all things. And he says, he reminds us that in Matthew's gospel, he says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And what's going to happen? All these things shall be added unto you. You don't need to worry. You don't need to be afraid, because God is so full of grace, and Jesus himself is the incarnation of that grace. And he will pour that grace upon all who seek him, who walk with him. That's the grace of God. This whole first chapter, David is bemoaning the fact that I got this chapter and not David to preach on. But anyway, this whole chapter is about Jesus and about the fullness of Christ in the divinity and humanity. It begins, obviously, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word, Jesus being the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God. He was with God from the beginning. He is God. Even in his humanity, the full divinity of Christ is made manifest in him. And so when we get to John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father. And then hear this. Full of grace and truth. He's full of grace. So what is this fullness we're talking about? From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. What is this fullness we're talking about? Last Sunday, when Father David was preaching on lesson that he didn't choose, but that's okay. You lived through it all, even though you preempted Father Chris with the incarnation ceremony.
Yes.
But anyway.
He's gotten over that.
He did get over that, yes. in that sermon, or in that service, I believe it was Elizabeth who read the epistle. And if you remember, I'm sure all of you do, the epistle that day was Hebrews chapter 10. And it hit me while Elizabeth was reading that, and I tapped David on the shoulder after she was through. I said, did that hit you? That lesson, which was associated with incarnational lessons, is also the lesson that is read on Good Friday. And that just shows the whole fullness of Christ. That in his incarnation all the way until his death and resurrection, the fullness of all that Christ is made manifest and available to all who are in Christ. The fullness of his deity, the great I am, who is, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the light, I am the bread of life, I am the truth, all of that is available to us who are in Christ, because the fullness of Christ is made manifest in those who are in him. St. Paul even says so in Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. For in him, in Christ Jesus, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in him. Everything that Christ is, everything that Christ was in his earthly ministry, all of that grace and truth which are in Christ Jesus is available to us. All we have to do is seek him, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be made available to us. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. One commentator that I was reading, he made a statement that I keep stumbling over this, so I'm just going to say it. And he said, Christians receive grace and then more grace, and then grace served on top of grace, and grace then in place of that, more grace. You can't get enough. You can't say enough about it. It is all there, and it's all for us because God loves us so much. He sent his only begotten son into the world full of grace and truth. And from that fullness, we have all received, and that is past tense, by the way. It's there. It's already there. We have all received grace upon grace. I found this definition of grace: a spontaneous gift from God to his people, generous, free, and totally unexpected and undeserved, that takes the form of divine favor, love, clemency, and a share in the divine life of God. It is an attribute of God that is most manifest in the salvation of sinners made effective in the incarnate one, Jesus Christ. Now, that's an awesome definition of grace. But the point is simple. Christ is full of grace, and those who walk with him get showered with that grace. It's like it oozes from his pores, and you're walking with him. That grace just overflows, and it's going to flow upon you. If we remain close to Christ, we can't help but get showered with that grace. When we come to Christ, he dishes out grace in heaping huge servings. Let me give you a couple of examples. Now, I've told you about our marriage, and how that's been just an example of grace upon grace for more than 42 years, because it started before we ever got married. But also in my ministry, I know I've shared this story with you before, so bear with me, but I think it's important because it reveals one aspect of this grace upon grace. I have never felt particularly competent as a priest. Okay. And there was one day, I guess it was about 7 or 8 years ago, I was sitting on the couch in my living room, and it was just one of those times when it seemed like everything in the church was kind of going haywire. Everything was a little bit wonky. And I was praying, and I was sitting there thinking, God, I can't figure out what I'm supposed to do here, Lord. And very clearly, all but audibly, the Lord said, Bill, you'll never figure this out. You're a bear of very little brains. It's not a matter of figuring it out. It's a matter of being like Pooh, who just kind of stumbles through things, but it always, you know, with Christopher Robin and everyone else around him, it all works out because of the grace of God. It's his ministry. It's not mine. He is the one who's in charge, and I just have to trust him and walk in him and let that grace pour upon him. And then not too long ago, 2 or 3 years ago, I was really struggling again with the whole idea of ministry. And I was like, Lord, how in the world did I ever get to this point in my ministry? How in the world did... And he said, you are the Forrest Gump of parish priests. You're not really smart, but you're always in the right place at the right time. And I can use you when I find you there. That's the grace of God. We can try and figure it out. We can try and rationalize it. We can try and use reason or sheer might or whatever it may be. We can try and solve the problems that are for us and work out the solutions. Or we can trust God and let him work it out. He may work it out through us. He may work it out in spite of us. But if we really trust God, his grace will carry us through. And we will see the glory of God made manifest and revealed. Which is a redundancy, but that's okay. And he will let us continue to do things our way if that's what we insist upon, okay? With the resultant consequences. Let me give you an example. My next door neighbor came to me last week before last, and told me that they had a lady who was living with her, living with them, who was a co-worker of his wife, who works at the hospital. And she was in a mess. And he was asking me that, would I be willing as a pastor to meet with her and talk to her? And I said, yeah, I'll be glad to do that. Then I got inside and I said, why did I say yes? I don't know. I don't have any idea. Anyway, she showed up. I guess that was Wednesday, wasn't it? Yeah, it was Wednesday this past week. And she showed up on my doorstep just crying and bawling. And she was, and the situation was basically a domestic violence situation, okay? And so I invited her in. We prayed together, talked to her, listened to her, gave her a whole box of Kleenex, thought of Diane. anyway, but basically what it amounted to was the reason why she was in this situation was she was trying to solve a problem in her own strength and made a big mess of it. And then while I was listening to her, she was trying to solve the problem of how she could get out of the problem that she had created. And finally, I just looked at her and I said, do you really believe that God is in charge? And she said, well, yes, of course. And I said, then let him do it. You're trying too hard here. She just couldn't see it. I've got to get out of this. I've got to figure it out. I've got to... That's when we really stumble all over ourselves and make a huge mess. Looking at the problem is not going to solve the problem. Looking at the Lord is where we need to go. We need to look for grace. It's a sure sign of the presence of God. When I was in seminary, we had a new priest who was an assistant in my home church. His name was Tommy Hightower. Actually, I thought Hugh, you met Tommy Hightower when you were on the road with the truck. You went to Arlington, Texas, and you went to a church. That was Tommy Hightower's church there. Anyway, Tommy Hightower was brand new. He was right out of seminary, and he was the assistant of Church of the Ascension in Dallas. And I used to go home, and being he was right out of seminary, I would go and I would just question him about everything having to do with seminary and about the priesthood and so forth. And he had a lot of really good insights and suggestions and things. But one day I was asking him about, you know, how do you prepare for a sermon? How do you preach? And he said, well, I start by just looking at the lessons and then I read them in order. And so I'll go to the Old Testament lesson and I'll look at that and I'll go, oh, that's the grace of God. And then I'll go to the epistle and I'll read through it. And he goes, oh, that's the grace of God. And then I'll go to the gospel and I'll read it and he'll say, oh, that's the grace of God. And I always preach on the grace of God. Can't go wrong there, can you? I love it. If you're looking for the grace of God, you're going to find it. Because we are filled with God's grace. That is the promise in the scripture today. From his fullness have we all received grace upon grace. In these times, these current times, it's hard. And there are so many out there who want to fix the problem. We want to rationalize, reason out the solutions. We want to take control of the situation. And God will let us do that. If that's what we want, he will. That's what's called free will, people. But if we listen to him, if we walk with him, if we seek him with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our minds, if we seek his kingdom above all, he has promised that he will give us grace upon grace. In the darkest hours, Christ's light shines most brightly. In the difficult times, God's grace is most evident. And he will shower you with his grace if you will but turn to him and walk with him. For from his fullness have we all received grace upon grace. Amen.